1 Peter 3, verse 1. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. Our first lesson in 1 Peter 3:1 is found in the opening phrase, in the same way. This instructs us to look back to the way Jesus righteously suffered that was taught just before this in 1 Peter 2:21 through 25. As we look there, we also look back to how Jesus' way of suffering is given as an example of, quote, being subject to every human institution, see verse 13 of chapter 2. Here in chapter 3, we find ourselves continuing on the same topic applied to the specific institution of you wives and your own husbands. As a recap then, we've been taught to be subject to authorities over us despite their crookedness, mistreatment, causing sorrow, inflicting unrighteous suffering, and treating us harshly. See verses 1 through 20 in chapter 2. This instruction was then given as an example in Jesus' response to the wrongs he suffered with righteousness instead of reviling or threatening. See verse 23. In other words, like Jesus, true believers are not to take an eye for an eye to bring about their own justice. Instead, we trust the judgment of all wrongs to the hands of God. See verse 23. Now, within the most foundational and central relationship of society, of marriage, these lessons are applied. It is a picture of a wife's undeserved grace, mercy, and submission for and because of the Lord, not because of the behavior of her husband. The second lesson from our text is found in the possession in the command, wives, be submissive to your own husbands, see verse 1. Notice the possessive language of your own. The husband belongs to the wife and the wife to the husband. They are fully unified and one. Just as Jesus says in Matthew 19:6, what therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. In this, the unity and roles of the three-in-one God are seen. The Son's role is to submit to the Father's will. Yet the Son is exalted for it, not belittled or diminished in any way. Contrary to this, our culture has created a negative and even repulsive view of submission and headship. If this cultural teaching of submission is held by the church, applied to the marriage roles, so too it is applied to the roles of the Trinity. In this, we see the danger of this modern feministic view, as it is not only contrary to God's teaching of roles in marriage, but contrary to who God is. Such a negative view of submission then destroys the identity of the Father and the Son. It is thus a teaching of the spirit of the Antichrist at work in our age. Like Jesus and the Father, the role of the wife to her own husband is fully unified. Like the Trinity, these roles are in a relationship that is fully equal, as well as still being fully submissive of the one to the other, to the glory of God. The third lesson taught is that the call to submission is given to wives to be submissive to your own husbands. Now, in a positive way, the wife is here called to be submissive uniquely and exclusively to one man. However, there are some biblical positions of authority according to the authority of God's holy word. For example, all are to subject to governors and kings. These are the civil magistrates of government, like police and lawmakers. Obedience is also commanded for God's people to church elders, who, quote, keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. These are the spiritual leaders who both care and lead those in God's kingdom. Concerning authority and submission further, the command is also given that women neither teach or exercise authority over men. See 1 Timothy 2:12. Here the context points back to the order of creation and the order of the fall. See verses 13 and 14, making this divine order and restriction apply to all of mankind universally. For every man and woman is a part of God's creation and lives under the reality of the fall. On the other side, there is a teaching and authority role given to women. It is the high calling of raising up the next generation through child rearing. See 1 Timothy 2:15 and 2 Timothy 1:5. And not just child rearing, but also leading and teaching other women. See Titus 2, verses 3 through 5. In these specific roles, women have divinely been given what is the greatest opportunity to impact the future of mankind by taking the most primary position of raising the next generation. A wife then submits uniquely and exclusively to one man, their own husband. Fourth, we may learn a lesson from the exclusive call to be submissive to your own husband, that is the provision and protection of God for the family. Now, in a negative way, this restrictive submission is to a wife's own husband, which then restricts a wife from submitting to others. This is a call to obey within the command of exclusive leadership. A wife has no other head, just as Jesus submits to no other authority than the Father. What happens then when a wife takes the role as headship and leads her husband? Is this not disobedience to God and a reversal of God's design? This was the sin of Eve to lead her husband, as well as the sin of Adam to be submissive to the leadership of his wife. What then becomes of a wife when someone else is leading her? When a wife is submissive to someone who is not her quote own husband, meaning someone outside of the biblical governing authority of magistrates and the biblical authority of the elders of the church. When any other submission takes place, especially in the role of headship and husband, no longer is the wife being submissive to her own husband. Is this not what happens when a wife works outside of the home under someone else's authority? So we see the evidence here of God's command for women to be workers at home. See Titus chapter 2. Only when working in the home will a woman not be under the authority of someone other than her husband. Now, there is enough content in Scripture to write a book about the fallout in our age of rejecting this divine structure of the home. God's design has been abandoned and opposed and is understood as an abomination even to those within the so-called church. The Industrial Revolution and the Women's Liberation Movement have been blindly embraced by the church without measuring the biblical implications. At one time, not so long ago, the majority of families would operate family businesses, working together under the headship of the husband and father. Of course, there were some poor who could not, and some prosperous who provided opportunities for the poor. But the majority of husbands, wives, and children engaged in business together. The divine command of the exclusive submission of the wife and obedience of the children was in those cases able to be kept intact and obeyed. Much love, unity, and blessing resulted in following God's design. Here we see brought to light one sin that the modern church has refused to repent of as it's blindly embraced the culture and the times as the authoritative Lord of truth in its life and faith. Of course, there are new modern approaches to Scripture that take women who worked in the home and say, see, women worked. They thus apply their modern interpretation to texts that had never been understood as a license to disobey other commands like the ones we're looking at and the one calling women to work in the home in Titus 2, verses 3 through 5. And notice, they never were contradicted until the culture taught a contradictory way. Now, if you see this and recognize the sin of disobeying God's design in your own family, repentance is the simple answer. However, it is a major life change and can be complex. If your family has been used to two incomes for any period of time, many other steps must be taken to learn to live on one income. Work together as a family to learn to live with less treasure of the earth. Actively work toward cutting excess from your lives. True repentance is a life change, and this biblical design will require obedience in many other financial areas of your life. Don't give up, and don't numb your conscience. Cling to the Scripture and work out your salvation with fear and trembling, with a true love for God and a desire to glorify Him in all things. Application. Ask yourself, am I a wife who is submissive to my husband in everything, as Ephesians 5:24 says? Ask yourself, do I submit to him in everything because the Lord is worthy, despite my husband not being worthy? Ask yourself, am I a wife who submits to others' headships and authorities in employment or influence that the Scripture doesn't permit me to submit to? If you have done these things, or you are living in this way, repent. Turn to the ancient paths of the Lord, the way of Jesus' exclusive submission to his Father. Now, you men may ask yourselves, am I a husband who demands submission from my wife? Do I overlord myself over her? Do I lead for personal gain and fleshly desire? Or do I lead as a selfless, self-sacrificing offering of love for her, just as Christ was for the church? Repent if you are not living how you ought to be. Turn to the ancient path of God's design for a healthy, godly, and God-glorifying headship. Let's pray. Father, many events in the past 150 years have drawn people away from your ways, so that they have become ancient ways. Open our eyes to the influence and power of our culture. Soften our hearts to be completely submissive to you and your ways, no matter how foreign and strange they may seem. Give us a love for you that says, your will be done on earth and in my life as it is in heaven. Your perfect and holy will, according to your all-sufficient authoritative word. Break the hardness of our sinful heart that longs to do things our own way, so that we may return to your ancient paths, seeking your glory alone in all things. Amen.